Good to see this number back tonight, this afternoon basically, to be able to worship together our Heavenly Father, to encourage one another in our service in the Lord's kingdom. We should always look forward to these types of opportunities to strengthen our faith and help us in our pathway as we work our way toward heaven along with God's instructions. In the Old Testament, a good bit of the earlier part of it deals with God's developing His nation, developing the children of Israel, developing them to be a great nation, as He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're familiar with their historical background, how that they grew to be a great nation down in Egypt. They had eventually become slaves of the Egyptians and suffered many years there as their slaves. Finally, according to the promise of God, God was deemed that it was time for them to be freed from that slavery and that persecution and suffering and to be moved to a land that He was going to give them, a promised land. And so we remember the plagues that were sent upon Egypt, and finally they let them go, and their journey that took place on the way to that land that was called the Promised Land, a land that God had promised to give unto them to live and to dwell in. But along that way, there were a lot of problems that God had in dealing with the people. A lot of the problems that He had with them was their attitude. Their attitude that they just seemed to be a people that was filled with whimpering, of crying, of weeping all of the time. And the passage that was read earlier in the first chapter of chapter 14, after the people got the report of the 10 spies, after going to spy out the promised land, and it was a bad report that the 10 brought back. Of course, Caleb said that it could be taken and gave a positive report, but they believed the 10, the poor report, and they were scared. And so it is said in the first verse there of chapter 14, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Here they spent a night weeping as a result of it. The migration of Israel from the first Passover there in Egypt to their death in the wilderness is a journey that is filled with tears. Some have called them the Boohoo Brigade because everything went wrong. We find them beginning to cry and to whimper concerning the things and the situation that they were in. When not asking for free food, it seems that they were shedding tears. Wonder they didn't mildew, somebody said, en route to the land of promise because of so many tears that they were whimpering and crying about their situation and about what was happening to them. Some instances that we see concerning their whimpering and crying, they come to the Red Sea and they see Pharaoh's army coming to them, and they begin to cry and whimper and because of fear of what Pharaoh's going to do and take them back to the captivity. And so we find them with a lack of faith there, and they're whimpering and crying at the Red Sea. At Sinai, we find them crying because they had no food. At Rephidim, we find them crying again because they were in need of water, and they thought that they could not have water, and they were going to starve to death. At Sinai, when God rebuked them for the golden calf incident, we find them weeping again. At Taberah, because they had no onions and leeks and cucumbers and garlic like they had back home, they cried again because they didn't have that diet. Now, I wouldn't cry for that diet. I just tell you, I wouldn't. There's a lot of things in there I don't care for. But that's what they were used to in Egypt. And they began to cry because they didn't have the same diet that they had back in that era. They were getting tired of the manna. Their constant moaning grieved Moses. It grieved him so much that finally he told God one night that he just wished he were dead, that the Lord would just take him, because he was tired of these people and their whimpering and crying about all of the good that God had done for them. And when a difficult time came up, they were being crying and whimpering as a result of it. They kept sobbing until the all-night sob of the feast that we have in our text tonight, when they were right on the borderline, ready to go into the promised land, and they did not have enough faith in the power of God to deliver that land into them, and they were ready to turn back. It was because of the negative report of those 10 spies that we find that they were wanting to turn back. They refused to hear Joshua and Caleb. In fact, when Joshua and Caleb gave their report, they were willing to stone Joshua and Caleb because they were saying, "We can take it. God will lead us. God will be with us." And the people would not hear it. And when they kept trying to give the people encouragement to follow God's will, they started to stone Joshua and Caleb, and almost did so, but didn't. That not. And so they voted unanimously to turn around, go back to Egypt. And verses 3 and 4 that was read a few moments ago of Numbers 14. "Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" And so they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Imagine crying and moaning till midnight, basically saying, "We can't do it. We'll never win. We'll never be able to conquer the land." And just a full night of negativity against being able to do what God had promised that He would do for them if they would but follow His lead and His commands and His will and have faith in Him. But here they whine and cry all night after they've seen many great miracles that God had performed for them, still crying and whimpering because they had this attitude that we can't accomplish it. We can't do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. They have walled cities. They have giants there. They're just too strong a people. So this lack of faith caused them to cry through the night as a result of it. That settled their fate with God. God was through this crybaby type of multitude that had come from Egypt. And so we're told in Numbers 14 and verse 23, God said, "They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." And we know as a result of that, that almost these 2 million people died in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land eventually after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And so God said, "Because you don't have faith in me, because you're not willing to go in and let me give you this land and be with you in taking this land, then you'll not see it. I'll not give it to you. I give it to your younger generation, to those that shall follow after you." And so God refused to let them go into the promised land because of that lack of faith, because of that crying mentality that they're whimpering and crying over every little obstacle they might see in front of them. I'm afraid we have a lot of people today that are like that in the world and in the church sometimes. That is, after become Christians, they cry for the things of the world. They want to have Sundays free for themselves. They've worked hard all week, and they want to have Sundays for family get-togethers and Sundays for picnics and Sundays for recreational activities and all of these sorts of things. And so they begin crying for the things of the world. Why do we have to do all of these things? And why do we have to assemble on Sunday? Why is it that important? I want to be able to go back and sleep late like I used to on Sunday morning. And if I want to play golf or I want to go fishing or I want to have a family, we can do that on Sunday and just have it for myself, whatever I enjoy. They began to whimper and cry for those things that they used to have before they became Christians. Do you have that attitude? Do you have that attitude of not wanting to worship God? Not wanting to come to the worship services? be back like it was when you were in the world and didn't have the obligation, the responsibility, or the desire to worship and serve God, even on the first day of the week. They begin to whine and cry because they can't participate in the things that most of the world does. They can't do a lot of those things. They can't go to the dances. They can't go to the bars and drink liquor. They can't participate in a lot of different things that the world participates in lasciviousness. They can't participate in wearing the latest of fashions because of the immodesty of those fashions. And so they begin to cry and complain because they can't do this and they can't do that. And I'm afraid there's some Christians like that, that whine and complain that they can't be like the world, that they can't be like everybody else around them, that they have to be different. We need to check our attitudes and our dispositions as a result of it. They fret because they lack more material goods. They seem to think that if they became Christians, that God would bless them with material possessions, and that that was a sign of being obedient to God, was material possessions. And since they have become a Christian, and they don't have as much material possessions as others may have, and those in the world may have, they began to wonder if it was even worth it to become a Christian because of their lack of material possessions and material goods in this world. They begin to equate that together. When we look in the New Testament, many of the New Testament Christians were poor. Our Savior was poor. He didn't have a place to rest. They'd call his own. He said, birds of the air have nests, and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. Seems the only thing he had of any value at his death was the single woven robe that he had that they cast lots for. We find that many of the apostles and disciples in New Testament times sold all that they had for the cause of Christ. We're poor and we're in need and needed help. Times we find churches helping other congregations that were in need and poor, that were starving, difficult ways. We must not fret about our material goods. God promised that it would take care of us. You remember in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, it talks about God being able to feed the birds of the air and clothe the lilies of the field grander than in Solomon's temple. That he's able to feed the birds of the air and clothe man more beautiful than in Solomon's temple, that he can certainly take care of his children. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A lack of faith that we will have enough to eat and we'll have something to wear and a place to live causes many people to whimper and fret about living Christian life. God didn't promise to make us millionaires. He didn't promise to make us have the newest of everything. But he would provide our needs. He didn't say he'd provide our wants, but he'd provide our needs. And we need to take that on the basis of what God has promised and understand that and not begin crying and fretting and weeping because we don't have what the world has. We whimper because if we have these attitudes and somebody rebukes us for having those attitudes, then we whimper and cry about that because somebody corrected us. Somebody pointed out that we didn't have the right attitude or disposition. That sounds like the children of Israel, doesn't it? Sound like they didn't want to be corrected. They didn't want to be shown where they were wrong, and they would whimper and cry as a result of it. Some whimper in the church because the church may be faced with some great challenge. They began to whimper and complain by saying, well, we'll never be able to do it. There's no way we can afford it. There's no way that we can accomplish that. And they have this negative attitude about the work that the church may be trying to embark upon, something good that the church can do. And so they began to have this whimpering attitude of defeatism that we can't do something that is in line with God's work. And it's important for us to be able to accomplish those things and have a good attitude. There may be a new worker to support, a new preacher going to a difficult place and needs support. It may be a new building, a new teaching program, whatever it may be. They begin to complain and say, well, we can't do it. We can't accomplish it. And yet, the problem is a lack of confidence, a lack of faith, and a lack of courage to be able to carry on the Lord's work the best of our ability. We don't need to cry and whimper every time there's a challenge put before us as God's children. We need to have, as we spoke of this morning, the zeal and the boldness and the courage to face it. To roll up our sleeves and get to work and to participate in it, to do it. Those are the things that are important for us to be able to do. And not to be always griping and complaining and whimpering like Israel was when God was trying to give them something that was wonderful and grand that He had promised them. And they kept throwing a wrench, monkey wrench in it every time it'd turn around. They'd start crying and whimpering because they didn't feed Him the right thing. They didn't have the water at the right time. And they didn't all of these various things that would take place. Griping and carrying on. I mean, no wonder the Lord finally lost patience with them and told them that you'll not enter in. You'll not receive that reward because of your attitude, because of your lack of patience, because of your lack of faith in me. And yet, when we look at Joshua and Caleb and the great courage of these two men, and the different attitude that they manifested. Caleb was given the very land he spied. He went into the land where the giants were, the sons of Anak. He went right in amongst those hardest people that the children of Israel thought they could never win. Joshua says, Caleb said, give it to me, I'll take it. And he did. And with God's help, he drove them out of the land. And that became the place where he and his would settle. Joshua at Gibeon, Ajalon stayed the sun still in the skies till the battle was won. God was with them to win that great battle when they were conquering the land. They knew God would be with them. They knew that God would strengthen them and give the land, fulfill His promise to them. And they had that great courage. They tried to plead with the 10 spies. They tried to plead with the people about it. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't pay attention. When the second generation comes along, they go in and conquer it. Jericho to the Joshua and Caleb was just a target for God's great power to be displayed. They had no question but whether God could give them the land He had promised. Both great men of faith. They did not throw up their hands. They did not cry at every obstacle that was before them. But they prayed and they had great courage and they were willing to confront whatever the problem was. Joshua leading the people in conquering the land. And where there was a problem, he dealt with it and they went on. And with God's help, they were able to conquer the land as God had promised that they would. Their career reveals every doubt and pause at God's will lead to deeper despair. When God tells us to do something and we pause and we say, well, I don't know where we ought to do that. I doubt that we can carry out what God wants us to do. That just will throw us into deeper despair as we try to walk this life. Our hardships will become greater. And it'll lead us to retreating from God's ways and trying to do it man's way. Joshua and Caleb stood firm, and they went into the promised land. Joshua led the conquering of the promised land. They were willing to obey God, to believe in God. They were not a whimpering, complaining, griping, doubting type of people. But their faith in God led them to have that courage to carry on and do whatever God would have them to do in their life. Tears are fine in their place. We all shed tears. They have a high mission. Tears are solvents for sorrow. They're antidotes for anxiety. They're sedatives for sadness. They're symbols of sympathy. The Bible says Jesus wept. And so there are great causes for tears to flow in our life on different occasions. There's a proper place for them and a time for them and proper circumstances for them as well. But when they are signals of cowardice, when they're signals that we don't have courage to do what God would have us to do, then it's time to realize that that's the wrong time to cry and whimper. Don't cry and whimper because God's mission is before us. In other words, have great courage to stand and to continue on. The slacker weeps and is weakened. The lacking in faith mourns at the challenge that is before them. And Joshua and Caleb, as I said earlier, saw the walls of Jericho as a target for God's power to be displayed. In these perilous days of hardships that all of us are going to face and are facing, worldliness and hardships are all about us. There are temptations, there are challenges, there are awful things that are carried on around us and that people do for their own selfish reasons and selfish means. And so when we face these hardships and these terrible things that the world may bring upon us, all of these things that are upon us, we as a church will be faced with great problems and great challenges. But when the challenges and the great problems arise before us, we can either turn crying and weeping and wringing our hands and say we can't do anything about it. And we must not weep. We must not whine. We must not mourn because of weakness on our part. But we must believe God. We must stand fast. And we will win. We will conquer. We will be what God wants us to be. And He will reward us with the great reward that He promises. Joshua and Caleb won because they, with faith and courage, did what God commanded. It takes courage to obey God. But that courage comes when we have a faith that believes that He keeps His word. That as the Scripture says, He cannot lie. And so if we maintain that courage to stand, to work, to serve in the Lord's kingdom as we should, then great things can be accomplished. And the Lord will reward us. But if we weep and whine and complain about everything that may confront us, then we're not going to be successful. And we're not going to be able to please the Lord. And just as the Lord gave up on the children of Israel, when we stand before God and that was our life, He's going to reject us because we were not faithful to Him. And we didn't do well in our service and our efforts to do so. Possibly you're here tonight. And you have not been displaying the courage and the strength that you need as a child of God. You've been one who gripes and complains and whimpering and crying because you're not getting your way. Things are not going the way that you want it to go or the hardships before you or whatever it may be. You need to strengthen your faith. You need to strengthen your courage. That comes from praying to God. That comes from reading His Word and listening to His promises and His instructions as what you can do and what He will do for you. And that He is there. That He is aware of what you are suffering. He is aware of what's taking place in your life. And if we'll have that type of attitude, then we can get through it and be pleasing. It's important that you become a child of God. That's a step that puts you on the pathway to eternal life. God sent His Son to this earth to die for our sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He died on the cross for our sins, arose from the dead, and now reigns at the right hand of God. If you believe in that and are willing to repent of your sins, turn from them, and confess your faith, the courage to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in a new life, a child of God, and embark on that pathway, the straight and narrow, that leads to eternal life. Maybe you've stumbled by the wayside because of sin and temptation. Maybe you've lost your courage and you were not bold any longer in standing. If you're willing to repent of that, pray to God for forgiveness, confessing that sin, then God's promised to forgive you. Remember Him against you no more. If you're in the midst of struggle, doing the best that you can to stand in the face of hardships and difficulties that are there, continue to pray. Continue to read the Scriptures. Continue to have your faith strengthened. Be with people of faith. Strengthen your faith in the ways that God has instructed. And you'll be able to see your way through, be able to reach that wonderful land of eternal glory forever and ever. If you're here tonight and need